Chapter 27. When Dorian's half-brother Peric had brought his army to Caliris to seize the throne, he had abandoned a vital post. The general who had served under him, General Talwin Naga, stood in front of the throne, explaining how the wild men would invade in the spring.
60,000 of them? Dorian asked. How could they raise so many?
Raise may be exactly the word, Your Holiness, the tiny Lodrakari man who had accompanied General Naga said.
Who are you?
Dorian asked. This is Ashaya Vul, the general said. He was your father's Raptus Morgai, keeper of the dead. I think you need to hear what he can tell you.
I've never heard of such an office, Dorian said,
and Raptus didn't primarily mean keeper, either. It meant taker, stealer. Dorian's stomach turned.
By your father's order and his father's before him, it was a quiet office, Your Holiness,
Ashaya Vol said. He was utterly bald, with a knobby skull and a pinched face and nearsighted eyes, though he looked barely 40 years old.
I was known only as the Keeper. Your father's hands discouraged questions.
The hands. There was another problem. Whoever led the informers, torturers, spies, and guards who served as the God King's thousand hands had yet to show himself. Regardless, Dorian doubted Ashaya Vul would dare lie about them.
Go on, Dorian said. I think you may want to come with me, Your Holiness. I suggest you leave your guard here.
Is this the first attempt on my life?
If so, it was rather clumsy. That made it all the more impossible to refuse. When the attempts on Dorian's life began, he had to defeat them ruthlessly. Then they would end.
Very well.
Dorian signaled the guards to stay and dismissed the general. In the hall, they immediately ran into Janine.
My lord, I'm so glad to see you, she said, giving him a version of a Caladoran bow mixed with a Cenarian curtsy, chin up, eyes closed demurely only for a second, right hand sweeping into the Caladoran curtsy's flourish, while the left hand flared her skirt as she curtsied. She made the mixed curtsy look graceful, too. Obviously she'd practiced it. It occurred to him that there was no Caladoran form of a woman's salute to an equal male. Caladoran women who were equals would nod to each other, but were always inferior to men in the same social rank, and invisible to men of lower rank. And all women prostrated themselves before a god king. This was Janine's offering of a middle ground. He smiled, pleased with her solution. Dorian nodded more deeply than any god king before him would have.
My lady, the pleasure is mine. How may I serve you?
I was hoping to spend the day with you. I don't want to be in your way, I just want to learn.
Dorian glanced at Ashaya Vul. The man, of course, had his eyes averted. He wouldn't dare to disapprove of a god king's decisions, or to even look at a god king's woman.
I'm afraid I'm going to go see something remarkably unpleasant.
You don't want to see it.
I don't want to see it. You should probably wait in the throne room. I'll be back shortly.
Dorian turned.
I do want to see it, Janine interjected.
Ashaya Vul gasped at her audacity, then studied the floor once more, as both of them looked at him, his face going red.
1,000 pardons, my lord, I spoke hastily. Forgive my rudeness, Janine said. She chewed her lip. My father never looked at things he didn't want to see, and it got him and my whole family killed, our country laid to waste. Dealing with things we don't like is part of ruling. My father refused to do it because he was weak and venal. How else am I to learn if not from you? What I'm going to see is beyond anything your father had to deal with, real or imagined, Dorian said. Even so. Janine was unmoved, and Dorian couldn't help but smile. He loved her strength, even as it surprised him. Very well, he said. Ashaya, show us what you were going to show me alone. All of it. Ashaya Vull said nothing, pretended to have no opinion, and maybe, in fact, had no opinion. A God King's unwelcome order was like a day of unwelcome weather. You might not like it, but you didn't have any illusions that you could change it either. So Ashaya took them deep into the bowels of the citadel, and then into the tunnels of the mountain itself. Dorian could smell the veer on the man, though not much. He was at best a Meister of the Third Shura. Finally, Ashaya Vull stopped in front of a door that looked like any of the hundreds of others this deep in the citadel. The dust in this hall was so thick it was more like soil, and it was plain that this room hadn't been visited any more recently than any of the others. He unlocked the door and opened it. Dorian held his veer as he followed the Lodrakari into the darkness. His first sensation was that this room was huge, cavernous. The air was musty, thick, fetid. Ashaya mumbled an incantation, and Dorian snapped three shields into place around both himself and Janine. A moment later, light coursed up the arch where Ashaya held his hand against the wall. It spread from arch to arch across a painted ceiling over 100 feet above. In a few seconds, light bathed the chamber. This had been a library once, a place of beauty and light. The walls and pillars were the color of ivory and lace. The mural was like something out of a forgotten legend, light coming out of darkness. Creation. It gave a sense of divinity and purpose. Long cherry shelves had once held both scrolls and books, and tables had been arranged with space for scholars to study. Now it held clean, white bones. The chamber was hundreds of paces long and half as wide, and everywhere the books and scrolls had been removed. In their place, on every shelf, on every table, were bones. Old, old bones. Some shelves held entire skeletons, labeled with tags tied to their wrists. Some held skeletons of human bones, but arranged in inhuman shapes. But mostly, the shelves held matching bones, with boxes for the small ones. An entire shelf of femurs, boxes of finger bones, pelvises stacked, spines whole and in boxes for each vertebra, and skulls in a large central area, mountains of skulls. Dorian dropped the shields. This was no attack. At least, not on his body. What is this? Ashaya glanced at Janine, then, obviously deciding he must speak the truth, said, Should the wild men invade, this is your salvation, your holiness. It is your corpusarium. When General Naga speaks of the clans raising an army, this is what he means. 2 years ago, a barbarian chieftain found an ancient mass grave and discovered a secret we had long thought was ours alone. Raising the dead. Sort of, your highness. Sort of? The souls of men are inviolate, Ashaya Vull said. I always liked purple. Ashaya blinked, not daring to chuckle. Janine was too busy staring around in wonder. He didn't think she even heard him.
"We don't have the power to bind men's souls to their bodies. Your predecessors tried to make themselves immortal doing that, but it never worked well. This is different. We call it raising because we use the bones of the dead to unite them with a kind of spirit we call the Strangers. The result is the Krull. They were originally called the Fallen, because whenever they fall in battle, they can be raised again if a Verdmeister is present."
"Take me one step at a time," Dorian ordered, his queasiness increasing.
"It starts in the pits. It always has. The God Kings have always said that the ore beneath Caliris was powerful, and that that's why the slaves and criminals and captured enemies are forced to work there. It's a lie. We don't need their service. We don't need their ore. We need the prisoners' bones and their agony. Their bones give us a frame. Their agony draws the Strangers."
"What are these Strangers?" Dorian asked.
"We don't know. Some of them have been here for millennia, but despite the length of their experiences, we are a puzzle to them. They don't have physical bodies, though my master said that once they walked the earth, took lovers, and had children who were the heroes of old, the Nephilim. The Southrons claim the name was because the Strangers were once children of their one god who were thrown out of heaven."
He smiled weakly, clearly regretting saying anything about a Southern religion.
"What happened?" "We don't know, but the Strangers long to wear flesh again. So we take the bones of our dead and sanctify them for the Strangers' use. Incidentally, this is why God Kings have themselves cremated. They wish to avoid our use of their bones."
"And then?"
"Real bones are necessary, but not sufficient to give the fallen a sense of embodiment, and it is for embodiment that they trade their service. We give them flesh. It doesn't have to look human. Some God Kings believed that any shape is possible, putting human bones into a horse's or a dog's shape. It makes binding the fallen more difficult, as they wish to be men, not horses. But it makes a fine horse."
"And the musculature and skin and so forth, does it need to be crafted as painstakingly as the skeletons?" Dorian asked. He'd trained as a healer, and he couldn't imagine the intricate magic necessary to create a whole living body.
"Given the correct skeleton and enough clay and water, the Strangers help the magic form muscles and ligaments and skin. They're never as sturdy as man. God King Roy Garrus was able to craft Krull that lived for a decade or more, but he was a brilliant anatomist. He was able to make Krull horses and wolves and tigers and mammoths and other creatures we no longer have names for."
"They function like living beings?"
"They are living beings, Your Holiness. They breathe, they eat, they..."
He looked at Janine again.
"Defecate? They just don't feel as men do. Pain that would incapacitate a man will do nothing to them. They won't complain about hunger. They will mention it if it's gone long enough that they are about to stop functioning."
"They speak?"
"Poorly. But they can see better in the dark than a man, though not as far. Eyes are difficult to make correctly. They make poor archers. They have emotions, but the palate is different from men's. Fear is incredibly rare. They know that as long as the line of God Kings survives, if their body is destroyed, they will most likely be put into another sooner or later."
"Are they obedient?"
"Perfectly, in most circumstances. But they have an incredible hatred toward the living. They won't help build anything, not even engines of war. They only destroy.
Experiments have been tried where a Krull was put in a room with a prisoner and told that if he killed the prisoner, he would be killed in turn. Every time, the Krull killed the prisoner. It was tried with women, with old men, with children. It didn't matter, except they killed children more quickly. You couldn't ask them to take a city and not kill those who surrendered. They also hunger for human flesh. Eating it seems to make them stronger. We don't know why. My father gathered these bones, but never used them. That was odd. Dorian turned it over in his mind. Perhaps Gareth or Sewell was too decent.
Your pardon, Your Holiness. Your esteemed father did use them. Once, when Clan Hill rebelled. Afterward, he noted the Hill fought to the last man when they knew they would be eaten and profaned. Your father said he wished to have men left alive to rule. The Krull wished only for ashes. He held them off for a great emergency. The emergency never came, so there's quite a stockpile.
How many do we have?
About 85,000. When we organize them, we have to preserve their hierarchy. Their number system is different than ours.
What do you mean?
Even our words for numbers are predicated on multiples of 10. 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000. Their number system is based on 13. My master said that was where our superstitions about 13 come from. They're rigidly bound to those numbers. A Meister can lead 12 Krull himself, but if he wishes to lead 13 or more, he must master a 13th, which is different. A white Krull, called a Daemon. The white Krull are faster, over 6 feet tall, and take more magic to raise. Platoons are 13 squads, 169 Krull. So, after you raise 13 squads, if you wish to add a single Krull, you must raise a Bone Lord. Bone Lords speak well, they're smarter, tough, and they can use magic.
Veer?
No. It's either the talent or very similar. 13 Bone Lords make a legion. If you don't lead it yourself, a legion needs a fiend. 13 fiends make an army. 28,561 Krull. Your Holiness has enough for 3 armies. If you can master 2 Arkanguls to lead the other 2 armies, all told, that gives you a force of more than 85,000.
What would happen if I had 13 Arkanguls? What is that? Close to 400,000 Krull?
I don't know, Your Holiness.
The man looked fearful, however, and Dorian thought he was lying. Has it ever been tried? I won't have you lie to me. The man blinked furiously.
The only rumours I've heard about that are blasphemous, Your Holiness.
As God King, I pardon your blasphemy. The man blinked again, but after a few moments seemed to master his fear.
My predecessor, Keeper Urgen, said that the first of your line, God King Roy Garrus, tried. He needed hundreds of thousands of skeletons for the attempt, so he invaded what is now the Frieze. Keeper Urgen said it was once a great civilization filled with mighty cities. Roy Garrus took it with little difficulty, for they thought him their ally, and then he put them in camps and killed them all, an entire civilization. Keeper Urgen said that above the 13 Arkanguls, God King Roy Garrus found a rank he called Night Lords. With 1 Night Lord, Roy Garrus conquered the rest of the Frieze, and his armies only grew. He couldn't be content. He thought he was closing in on the mysteries of the universe. He thought if he could master 13 Night Lords, he would master God. I can't imagine that there were ever so many people in all the world, but my master told me that he succeeded in capturing and putting to death almost 5 million people, and that there, above the Night Lords, he found...
The man's face was pasty and sweating, his voice low and hoarse.
There he found Kali. She destroyed him and became our goddess. She gave us the Veer to bind us to her and to make us destroyers. This is why Agony is worshipped to her, because like all the strangers, she hates life.
What happened, Ashaya? The man's voice was a whisper.
Jorsen Alcestis.
Dorian's heart went cold. He'd heard this history, but only from the southern perspective. The mad emperor and the mad mage, the conqueror and his dog. Now, Ashaya was saying that Jorsen and Ezra had stopped a goddess and her army of 5 million Krull.
Elsewhere our armies would suffer losses in the day and be remade in the night. That alone made us almost invincible. But Alcestis somehow warded all of the great city of Treathel and leagues around it so that the Krull couldn't be raised there.
Black Barrow? Dorian asked. The city was in southeast Kalidor, but it had never been inhabited. It was cursed. No one lived within leagues of the place. Indeed, all of eastern Kalidor was sparsely populated. Who else knows about these bones, and about the Krull?
I have a number of deaf mutes who assist me. We take all the castles and the cities dead. I never allow anyone in the larger chambers. Peric and Moburu were the only Ethlings who knew. General Naga learned it from Peric. No one else.
No one else. So Peric wasn't a fool, Janine said, speaking for the first time since they'd entered the vast room. With 20,000 men, he was facing 60,000. Peric didn't come here for the throne, or at least not only for the throne. He came for the Krull.
What does it mean, my lord?
Dorian felt sick. She'd seized on exactly the crux of it. My father suffered a huge setback by being stalled in Cenaria. It was a distraction, a mistake. He thought he could grab it and send home riches and food, but the supplies he hoped to send home were put to the torch, instead, by the fleeing Cenarians. Dorian rubbed his face. So, when the barbarians came down from the Frieze, Caliris will be indefensible. Its citizens would want to cross Lux Bridge and live here in the Citadel. As they wait out the siege, they'll have to be fed, and we have no food. Our military's good at following orders, but no good at taking initiative. If I throw them into a battle, facing 3-1 odds, they'll get massacred. There's no way to win. Janine said nothing for a moment, then glanced around at the stacks and stacks of bones.
You mean, there's no way to win, except...
He looked at the bones of men, and thought of all the stories of Krull he'd ever heard, and he thought of dipping so deeply into the Veer, and he thought of men dying no matter what he did.
Yes, he said. There's no way to win, except to raise these monsters. It will be an orgy of death.
Whose deaths? The invaders? Or your innocent peoples?
The invaders, Dorian said.
So long as he did everything right.
Then
Let us raise monsters, Janine said.